Ohio approved and licensed for disposal. At Ron Evans Enterprises, they specialize in sewage system installation and repair. Ron Evans has a full line of flex pipe, culverts, concrete and plastic septic tanks, sewer fittings, water line rolls for the Home American water heaters, along with toilets, standard and ADA. It's all at Ron Evans Enterprise, LLC. Give them a call today at 1-800-537-9528 or 740-286-5930.
At Vinton County National Bank, we believe in supporting the areas where we live and work. Now, we'd like to honor those who also serve our communities. Our new Community Champions account is especially for first responders, veterans, active military, and anyone employed in the fields of healthcare or education. This account offers rewards, discounts, and other benefits to those who give so much to others. Vinton County National Bank, rewarding those who serve.
Would you like to work closer to home, save money on gas, and be rewarded for your hard work and attendance? Then Belicio Foods is looking for you. That's right. Belicio Foods is now hiring for multiple positions and shifts with great employee benefits, an on-site health clinic, competitive wages, and advancement opportunities. Belicio Foods is a company that truly values their employees. Apply online at beliciofoods.com/careers.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the morning show where our camera is completely crooked this morning, I think, or something. Because I can see all the stuff over here. Hi. Dylan, what did you do? Did you kick it?
Probably.
All right. Well, welcome to the morning show. We have two lovely guests here in the studio today, and we're going to be talking about an event coming up here in April. And also, Pete, believe it or not, didn't get through all the news yesterday. So we're going to get to some news as well. But you girls have a very special and important event coming up, and we wanted to talk about that. So first off, could you introduce yourselves, and then we'll get to that.
My name is Lisa Sevi. I'm a conference director.
And I'm Josie Atwood, the administrative and operations coordinator.
Okay. And they have really, really long, fancy titles.
Yeah.
They're hard to spit out. But no, we are talking about an event that you all have coming up at World Outreach. And let's talk about, you know, what it's called and what people can expect, because it's very, very important.
It's Mountains Move Mental Health Conference. We have...
Love that name.
Thank you. Yeah, we believe that if you really put your trust in the Lord, that, you know, mountains can be moved. And we just invite everybody out because there's tons of different aspects. We have different speakers from all different walks. So we have lots of music that night because music really speaks to me, and that's how I kind of get through a lot of things. So we have a lot of music, and we have a good amount of speakers, and we try to create an environment of community where people can come out and feel like it's a safe place to be able to talk about and deal with mental health issues.
And
chime in whenever you want.
No, that's good. There's the logo there, and I just really love that name because I think it's just very telling of what you're trying to do. And, you know, mental health, and I heard what you all were saying on the radio, and I kind of second what Josh was saying, and I know that you all said, well, not everybody struggles with mental health, but I walk around the world thinking, yeah, as Josh does, because I do have anxiety issues and whatever, always have, that everybody else does too. And, you know, maybe God, you know, bless you if you don't, because that's a wonderful thing. But it's nice to maybe get people together and understand that you're not alone.
Yeah. Right. And I think that's the biggest aspect of it for us in coming out and speaking. My husband is a medical physician, Dr. Sevi. I don't know if you know him, but he co-directs with me. And it was he sees a lot of it in work, too, and especially with the younger generation. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons. And he struggled with it his whole life from childhood up. Very anxious. Yes. Has dealt with, you know, huge onsets of depression, as have I. So it was really just us deciding that even though the conversation with mental health has come a long way, there's yes. still a long way to go. And it's still very stigmatized and people are still very unlikely to come out and talk about it. So if we can create an environment where people can have that conversations with other people who struggle, yeah. I think we'll get a long way in helping people heal.
And I think we're our own worst enemy when it comes to that, because it's like, you know, if I didn't have this platform, I wouldn't just be standing out there saying, I've suffered from anxiety all my life. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, but I will openly say that here because, well, A, it's our discussion today, but I think it's important for people to be honest about it.
I think when you have depression too, it's super easy to feel alone. So
it works hand in hand.
Right.
Yeah.
So whenever you go there and you see that there are so many different people that are experiencing the same problems that you're experiencing, it's easier to get through it because you're like, well, maybe I'm not the only one that's going through this.
Right. Kind of almost their safety in numbers
yeah,
situation yeah. where, you know, and you're right. You know, when you get into depression or anxiety or any, you know, and there's all kind of mental health issues, whether, I mean, it's there, it, my goodness, the sky's the limit. But when you can get with other people and realize that, mm-hmm. there are other people that feel exactly the same way I do. Oh my gosh, I've been living with this alone for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's our goal is really just, again, we, you know, our motto is to love God, love people, create community. And that last aspect is definitely one that we're huge on, is creating a community where people can really just get over the hump or move their mountains or, you know, whatever they're struggling with, be able to find somebody they connect with.
See, this is so amazing. So when is this event? Where? Tell us all the details.
Okay. April 13th. Doors open so at 3:30.
What, a couple weeks?
Not
couple
this Saturday, weeks. But next.
Next Saturday. Yeah, 2 weeks.
From yeah, 2 weeks.
Saturday. We're down to 2 weeks.
You're like, oh, no. Yeah. I have anxiety.
Your eyes are going
to
get big.
When
you're like, holy.
2 weeks. Yeah, we're 2 weeks out. So it is April 13th. The doors open at 3:30, and then we'll have music, worship, live music from 4 to 4:30. Then we have some speakers, and then we'll end the night again with some more live music.
We do have a question and answer panel this year where you can anonymously send in your questions, and then we have like a panel of three people, four?
Four, I think, yeah.
Four people that will answer any questions that you might have.
Yeah. And would those be kind of like experts or just people that have been there and done that? Or
we have a physician on the panel, and then we have Taylor Stepp, who's been a really big he's actually one of our speakers this year, so we're super excited to have him. But he's also on the panel. I know he does a lot of involvement in the community. He's and amazing. Such yeah. My husband loves him. And then we have some pastors on there as well. So kind of a little bit of range for everyone so that anybody can kind of send their questions in and find answers.
That's awesome. And where would you send your questions to?
When you walk in, we're going to hand you a program.
Oh.
Yeah. And there is a QR code in there. You just scan that, send your question in anonymously, and then it should be super easy.
Yep.
Josie's going to read off the questions to the panel as they come in. So.
Yep.
That's awesome. So what would you say to people that say, oh, I'm not going there because I don't go to church? Like, it's going to blow up if I walk in or catch on fire or something because I am not a churchy person.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, so again, creating the community and creating a safe space as a Christian organization, obviously, you know, Jesus is our main reason, but we also have medical professionals in there, and we also have, you know, therapists in there. We have a lot of different aspects. So, you know, our conference is more of a holistic approach to everything. We want you to be able to find maybe the medical piece that you need or a therapy piece that you need, and then you're going to hear Jesus when you're in there too. So I do think that it's a comfortable, laid back, very again, just comfortable and laid back environment. I don't think that anyone would feel uncomfortable coming in. Again, it's just, it's welcome to everybody. It's open to everybody. And I honestly think that everybody will find a piece that they need.
You know, and that, after all, that's the point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So again, what are the times again of this?
The doors open at 3:30 and we're going to start at 4. So before to 8.
Yeah. Okay. So just a few hours and maybe again, you know, I was just thinking the mental health when you said there's going to be physicians there, but there's also going to, there's going to be all kind of different people. So maybe mm-hmm. you know, because there is a physical aspect to this.
And absolutely.
I will, you know, argue that till the day I die of people say, well, they're just weak or they're just, and I mean, you hear that all the time.
Yeah.
And no, there is a literally a physical aspect to, you know, mental illness.
I think one of the favorite slides that has ever been shared at the conference was the one where it showed the actual change in the brain chemistry.
Okay.
Between,
It was super cool to see.
Yeah. So it was actually a huge blown up image of the human brain and dealing with addiction. So it had a normal human brain. It had a human brain dealing with addiction, human brain dealing with depression, human brain dealing with anxiety. And it showed you the difference in all of those. So you could actually see that it is a chemical change. Mm-hmm. So yes, absolutely. There is a physical aspect to it. So we're just saying, you know, if you come in, and maybe opening your mind to the Lord is going to help you. But there's also other aspects of it too. Like there's also, again, we have several counselors who attend and are there to help. We have a resource room. So if you come and you decide that you want to take that step and maybe finding, we have resources for counselors and therapy and things like that as well. So,
yeah. And maybe you find, you know, you've been down this path and it's not necessarily working for you, you can meet somebody else that might help you down this path, whether you know, be a counselor or a physician or whatever.
It's all about engaging in conversation, because that's how, you know, when you connect with someone else, they might be the person that's going to be able to help you. So
and you can meet new friends along the way, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I mean, isn't that so cool? You get to meet a new person.
Yeah.
And I think people hear a somber thing like mental health and they think it's going to be a very somber event. But we have a lot of fun and we enjoy it and it's a good time as well. So.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, what better for your mental health than to have some fun?
Yes.
You know, life's hard, man. Let's have some fun along the way, too, and talk about important issues. But you can have fun doing that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So how do you come to the conference? Like, do you just show up? Do you need a ticket?
Either you can register at the door. If you want to pre-register and save that time, you can actually, we have a Facebook page. It's just Mountains Move. And it'll have that purple logo up there.
Okay.
You can go there or you can go to the website. It's mtsmoveconf.org.
Okay.
So Mountains Move Conf, but it's abbreviated. It's just mtsmoveconf.org. And you can go there and get your tickets as well.
That's very good. And is there a cost for that? Or
absolutely not. Okay. We want to keep it free for as long as we possibly can, because it's our desire to bring something to the community that is needed and not have to apply a cost to it. We want people to be able to come because they don't have to think about, well, can I get tickets? Do you know?
Yeah. So that's stressful.
Right.
You know, like literally, this is a mental health conference. Yeah. I don't want you to get stressed out about things. Well, very good. And you said, I think I heard on the radio that this is the fourth year.
Yeah. The fourth year.
Time flies. So how did this thing come to be?
So I was telling Matt that it really stemmed from coming out of my I said first there, but it was my second onset of postpartum depression.
Which is another thing that people say that people make up.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely not true.
Exactly.
Again, gets me angry.
It makes me so
anxiety.
Mad.
Yeah. Can I share? I think Josie actually is helping with the conference now, but I think that she is more outspoken now with anxiety and depression because of the conference.
Yeah.
Like, I think you came that first year and
and
it really helped her, and now she's a part of it with us and kind of. So hopefully we are helping people.
I mean, I struggled with anxiety and depression for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, there were spurts where it got super bad. And then I experienced postpartum depression. Like, I had heard of it.
You mean you made it up, right?
Right. Yeah. I made it up.
Made it up. I had a baby and then made up that I want to be depressed.
Right. All of a sudden, I was super sad. But
because I have this beautiful baby, yes. It made me sad.
My life was perfect, but it was just so sad. Yeah. So, literally to go there and to hear other people talk about, like Alisa talk about her postpartum depression. It was like, I've heard people say, oh, I've had it, but nobody explains it in depth and then explains how they helped themselves or how God helped them or what they did to get through it. Okay. So, to go there and actually hear what other people were saying made a whole lot of difference. Made me realize that I'm not crazy and I'm not weird. Completely normal things are happening. Your hormones are crazy and that's not your fault and you're not making it up. So
stemming from the struggle with postpartum depression came into me starting a women's ministry. And then as I was counseling a lot of women who were dealing with postpartum because they knew that I did and other aspects of mental health, that kind of stemmed into me handling more of that and finding that that's more my passion. So we approached our pastors about having just a night of healing.
Okay.
And my husband's on board because, like I said, you know, he sees it every day at work and he struggled with it his entire life. So he's like, yeah, let's do this. So we started the night of healing and it went so well and we saw such a need. We were like, this is definitely something that we want to do on a regular basis.
Open this up to more people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for doing what you're doing. I mean, this is an amazing event. And again, you don't have to feel unwanted or weird about it if you don't go to church.
Right.
Like, it's okay. Yeah. And maybe that's something that you're like, oh, wait, this is something for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think these people are awesome and I would like to hang out.
We are pretty awesome.
Yeah, right? But no, I liked what you said about what'd you say with postpartum depression about being weird, and
I feel like there's like a stigma around it. Like,
yeah,
you feel you can say that you've had it, but you don't really go into depth with it because people might think you're crazy or crazy. Weird.
That's what you said, or weird. And so I was talking with, I've never had children, so I didn't experience that. But I was talking with some family members, you know, that have, and, you know, recently had babies and all of that. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I know I was talking with one and she said, they just send you home with this thing and you're supposed to just like, there's no book. There's no like, you're just supposed to keep this human alive.
Right.
There's no like anything.
Right.
And then, so that stress is, you know, a thing where you're like, okay, I have to take care of this child and have no idea how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling weird.
Yeah.
And then I'm feeling guilty because I'm feeling weird. Right. Yeah. And it just goes on and on and on. So I get that.
I had a C-section. And so for some reason, there's also like weird stuff about that. Like if you have a C-section, well, you didn't really give birth. So that played into it.
I could see that.
Yeah. That played into my postpartum.
You cheated.
Right. And I'm like, really? Because I can't move for 6 weeks, but that's just me. And then I tried to breastfeed and I couldn't get that. So it was just like piling on top of everything. Just kept getting higher and higher.
I get that.
Yeah.
A lot of mom shame. A lot of people shaming in general. So I think, you know, people feel like they have to live up to these lofty expectations with motherhood or with being a human.
Or, you know, driving the right car
right.
or not the rusty right. pickup truck. Or right. That was a whole other discussion this morning. But, you know, of all of these expectations of mm-hmm. life in general
mm-hmm.
and not living up to the Joneses, if you will.
Right.
For,
right.
You
so
know, pun intended.
We want to invite people to come to a place with other imperfect people. Mm-hmm. And understand that that's
perfect?
Okay no. to be an imperfect person and learn how other people are managing with that and dealing with it and getting out of it.
I mean, isn't it, I can see where that would cause anxiety of, you know, I'm not, oh my gosh, I have to be perfect, but I'm, you know, beating myself up because I'm not, what do I do?
Yeah. Which is actually like why most people are scared to come to a church. because they're like, I've done so much, it's going to blow up, like you said.
Yeah, like literally it's going to catch on fire if I yeah. walk in the door.
But if you come to Mountains Move or church in general, you're going to see that none of us are perfect. That's exactly what we're admitting. We're not perfect. We need help. So if you come to Mountains Move and you say, I'm not perfect and I need help and I don't know how to get it,
yeah,
we have so many different resources to help you and figure out how to help you.
And that's the whole point of the thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So, yes, we hope that you all make plans to attend. Now, would this be a family-friendly event, or should we leave kids at home?
We small kids, yeah. It's not an all-encompassing family event, so we don't have childcare or anything like that.
Okay.
We do encourage that maybe later middle school, high school kids come.
I was going to say, there's a lot of teenagers struggling.
Yes, and that's...
Please feel free to come.
Yeah, that's a big thing we see in youth, is that a lot of the youth struggle, maybe even more so than a lot of adults do. So we would encourage the youth to come out. We think that they would have a good time and get what they need as well.
I would also say, too, though, if you have the choice between you can't go unless you bring your child.
Oh, absolutely. Bring your child.
We would much rather you have your child.
We would much rather you be there and you bring your kids along if that would be the need. Yeah.
It's just that they'll be.
There won't be childcare.
Yeah. They'll be you're going to have to deal with your child.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Well, what are some of the other things that you would, you know, like our viewers to know about this conference? What do you hope that people get from it and take away?
I think, you know, we've already touched on a lot of it. I would definitely think that, you know, big aspect is the imperfection part. Like, you know, come, don't feel like you can't come because you're not a perfect person. We're not all perfect people. We all make mistakes. We all struggle in different ways. And I think once you get in the door, you'll find that there are a lot of other people there who go through the same things that you do.
Yeah.
So, what do you think?
I would agree. I feel like we've said a lot of what we encompass and what we would want viewers to know. Just come. There's really no reason not to.
Yeah. Absolutely. So how many people are you hoping to have there?
As many people as we can help.
Yeah,
there you go.
We've had anywhere from, oh goodness, 350 to 200. I mean, it's just varied every year.
Yeah.
But definitely, I mean, my desire is if I can make one person not feel like I did when I was going through depression, then that's definitely my goal.
Yeah.
So if you're the person that's struggling and you don't know a way out, come, we'll help you get through it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, many, many resources. If you've been trying one and it doesn't necessarily work, you know, there's going to be all kind of alternatives out there.
And
you can meet all of those folks at the conference, which is really cool. And these lovely ladies will be there. Very, very good. Well, girls, thank you so much for coming in and spending time with us this morning and telling us all about your event. I think it's just amazing, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Now you girls are welcome anytime. We can talk about rusty pickup trucks. All kind of stuff. I drove my husband's rusty pickup truck this morning, so it's a whole thing.
And you loved it.
It was great.
It was your favorite.
Yeah, I'm like driving down the highway and the back glass doesn't even shut all the way. And I'm like, why is it so cold in here? And why is it so windy? And I'm like looking and there's like a big gap. And
oh, no.
I'm like, okay, this is fantastic. But anyway, if anybody wants to, you know, take it off my hands, I can probably give it to you and maybe he won't notice. He will know.
Maybe somebody would steal it in the middle of the night and you wouldn't know. Or you could hire somebody to steal it.
Yes.
Hire somebody to steal it.
Steal this truck. Yes. Drive it to the Ohio River. I don't care. Yeah. Just make it go away. No, I'm just kidding. But no, ladies, thank you so much. And again, Mountains Move Conference, and it is April 13th.
April 13th.
Doors open at
3:30.
World Outreach.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the address there?
It is 6533 State Route 327.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know where that is, everybody knows where Splashdown was.
It's Splashdown Church we learned this morning.
Splashdown Church. Yes. It's the one right there by Splashdown.
Yes.
So not hard to find at all.
Nope.
So
we'll have signs out. You'll see us.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Just follow the signs. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We greatly appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you.
Of course. All right, Dylan, what's next?
Well, I'm going to send you to a quick message from Matt, and then we'll do the weather, and I'll have Pete in here.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll be back.
Total Media is doing an Easter prize pack giveaway, and all you have to do to enter is find our post on Facebook or any of our Total Media platforms and follow the instructions. Once you're entered, you can win a $50 Stockroom 601 gift card, 2 movie tickets to Tri-City Theater, a 3-month online subscription to the Telegram, 2 Total Media t-shirts from Zip Printing Signs and Marketing, 2 Total Media radio keychains, and an Easter basket filled with some candy-filled Easter eggs. It's free to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and the contest is open to first-time new subscribers. The winner of the prize pack will be announced on Easter Sunday. Good luck!
All right, and we are back, except for I'm not sitting in the seat I'm supposed to be sitting in, but here we are. Okay, now I'm back. Today, we were talking about the weather forecast. Today, we're looking for some partly cloudy skies with highs around 56 and lows there of 30. Not too bad, not too great. Tomorrow, just about the same. Some partly cloudy skies, highs of 56, lows around 36. And then Friday, a little
Jackson
bit warm.
County fundraiser. And this is very important that you attend, A, because it helps our furry friends, and B, it's a great event for your kids.
It's Saturday, April 20th at the Jackson First Church of the Nazarene, 1 to 4 p.m. And you can meet Bluey and Bingo. So bring your kids. Come and meet and greet with Bluey and Bingo. They'll be bringing their friends Spider-Man, Spider-Gwen, and Miles Morales. You can feel free to take pictures of your children with your phone. There'll be door prizes, face painting, temporary tattoos. That's all included in the ticket price, and which is $10 each for adults. And kids 2 and under are free. So you can get tickets at eventbrite.com. And again, this is a great event for the kids. Hi, Pete. And you can also, great event for the kids, but also help our furry friends along the way, which is this the main thing, because the Humane Society is a not-for-profit and they get no more grants. Everything that they get is basically donation-based. So, and when you call them and say you have litters of kittens to come get, that costs money. So please help them along the way.
Right. And I know they're delighted that they got some sponsors to help make that possible. Now they just need people to come out to the event.
Buy the tickets.
Right. Exactly.
Yep. So how are you, Pete?
I'm doing okay.
Well, good deal. And you hung out with us a little bit. I think it was yesterday.
Correct.
There's so much news to do that you said you didn't come close to getting through it all. So we wanted to come back today. But Dylan, did you say you have a surprise for Pete?
Oh, I have a surprise for Pete.
He has a surprise for you.
Oh, boy. I wasn't told about this.
I don't know. Whoa.
Oh, my. Talk about pressure. These production values, wow. I know they just keep rising on us. Okay. I don't know whether I can live up to the globe and the graphic or not. Probably not. Well, we'll give it a whirl.
So funny. All right. So what's going on in the world of news, Pete?
Well, I guess one of the latest things, you know, we referred to it yesterday, and actually just before we came in, I got off the phone with this information. But from the Vinton County Board of Elections, remember we had that race in the Democratic primary for one of those county commissioner positions. We had a one vote difference between two of the three candidates, actually a total of 14 votes between the three candidates. But the key is those first two positions. Lynn Harold had 145 votes. Jeffrey Fee had 144 votes.
Yes.
And that was close enough before they did what they call the official count or official canvas to know that could make a change, those extra votes that got counted, provisional votes and late arriving absentees. Well,
yes.
The Board of Elections met yesterday morning, went over that very carefully, and here is the final result. Lynn Harold picked up one more vote, and Jeff Fee picked up one more vote. So as it stands now, Lynn Harold went from 145 to 146. Jeffrey Fee went from 144 to 145.
Okay.
The bottom line is that I'm not sure the percentage, but when it was 145 to 144, it was 0.19 of 100%. Uh-huh. Now it's a little less than that, actually. And so an automatic recount in the state of Ohio is triggered when the percent difference between two candidates or in an issue is less than 0.5%, which is 0.50.
Yes.
We're at 0.19, actually maybe 0.18. I'm not sure, I didn't get my calculator. I didn't have time. But anyway.
You can't just figure that in your head?
I cannot. What that means, if it's a batting average for baseball, yes.
Maybe you can.
But anyway, the bottom line is that now there is going to be that automatic recount.
Okay.
And it will be done on April the 2nd, which is next Tuesday, I believe, Tuesday, April the 2nd at 9 a.m. And it will be in conjunction with another thing that they were going to have to do anyway, and that is what they call the audit. That is another thing that elections boards do now after elections to make sure that everything was done correctly. Probably shouldn't change anything, but they take a certain percent of the votes and they go over them real carefully and make sure that, you know, they were counted or tabulated right, correct. It's just like an audit for on your books for financial, okay, or whatever, to make sure that they're right. But that will be done in conjunction with the recount, and the recount will involve only the top two candidates, because Mr. Betts, who finished third, was only 14 votes behind. And according to my information, he didn't receive any votes this time. The other two received one each. So his votes will not matter in this case. It will be those top two. Now, there is no other new votes that will be counted that haven't already been counted. So
okay,
when they recount, unless there was some discrepancy or mistake or omission, whatever, Lynn Harold is ahead by one vote. And if nothing changes, she will be nominated as the Democratic candidate for the January 3rd commissioner's term to run in the general election. She's not being elected commissioner. She's nominated as the Democratic,
yes,
as the Democratic candidate, and she'll run against the Republican candidate, who is Jeffrey Harper, in
okay,
the November 5 general election. So that's the latest news from the Vinton County Board of Elections, and we will certainly follow up and see what happens on April the 2nd. But the bottom line is there are no new votes or additional votes that have not yet been counted.
Okay. And again, this is a perfect example of the fact that your vote counts.
Absolutely, it does. I'm sure that those folks that would have supported one candidate or the other, particularly Mr. Fee in this case, since he's behind by one vote, are thinking, yeah, I should have gone to the polls.
Yeah.
Weather was bad. Didn't feel like it. My vote's not going to matter or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll move on to another story. This one I didn't know yesterday, but I know now from the criminal justice front.
Okay.
The Wellston Police Department reported a traffic stop that led to a major, what they feel is a major drug haul.
Oh.
It occurred on Sunday, March the 24th, in the early morning hours. The police in Wellston made a traffic stop. The driver was Brian Wiseman, age 52, of Londonderry. And I think we have Mr. Wiseman's picture there, Dylan, sorry. But anyway, Mr. Wiseman was stopped for something very simple, a license plate violation.
Okay.
And, when they stopped him, they found out that he was wanted on a warrant. Well, that was trouble number one. And that triggered a search of Mr. Wiseman and his vehicle. And when they searched Mr. Wiseman's person, they located 25 grams of suspected methamphetamine in his coat pocket. When they searched the vehicle, they located approximately 16 grams of suspected cocaine and also suspected fentanyl, a total of 16 grams between the two. Now, they use the word alleged and suspected because it has not been analyzed, but they are trained police officers and they believe that's what it is.
They know.
Right. So what we have right now is a license plate violation, just a simple citation, and we have pending charges if the BCI results turn out to be. There is Mr. Wiseman's picture. Thank you very much, Dylan. He right now just has a citation and he is in the custody, Not sure whether he was jailed or not, but he was in custody. He was turned over to the custody of the Vinton County Sheriff's Office on the outstanding warrant.
Oh.
So, you know, there's trouble there when you have a warrant. You might not have shown up to court. You might have done something. They didn't know where you were or whatever. So yeah. there's that problem, too.
Does Vinton County have a jail?
They don't have their own jail, but they are one of the counties that participate in the Southeastern Ohio Regional Jail. That's a jail at Nelsonville, and they're a partner in that, and they get so many cells. And I'm sure it's the same situation. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn as the Jackson County Correctional Facility. Remember, Jackson County needed a new jail badly, built it in the late 1990s, mm-hmm. 40 beds, bigger than they need. And, of course, it wasn't very long before. It's not bigger than they need.
It's not bigger.
Even though this is a regional jail in Nelsonville, there is not enough space for the counties that are participating. And I know that Vinton County has been involved in at the commissioner's level and probably at the sheriff's office level, too, with discussions about the need for jail space.
Okay.
So that is the latest arrest out of Wellston. That story did not make our paper on Saturday or on Wednesday. It will be in Saturday's paper, and we will be putting it online as well.
Okay.
Okay. We want to tell you that this weekend is the weekend for the Jackson Apple Festival Little Queens contest on
yes.
Friday and the Apple Festival contest on Saturday, you know, for the high school age girls. 12 contestants are there, and we will drop their names. We have them, by the way, in our paper on Wednesday, also posted online. You can see pictures of the young ladies who are candidates, as well as a brief profile, their parents, yeah. some of their activities in school. And I will tell you, and I'm not speaking like a PR person for Jaffe or the Apple Festival Committee, those judges are going to have a tough time because these young ladies are not only attractive young ladies, but they are academically oriented.
Oh, man.
They are active in their community. Some of the same young ladies that were competition cheerleaders that won an international title in Orlando, they're in this contest. And the way it worked out, it's about a 75% blonde deal this year.
Oh.
So, but anyway, the girls that are in the contest, and we invite you to go to pick up a copy. If you're not a subscriber, pick up a copy of Wednesday's paper. See those girls on the back page of our paper in color. But the candidates are Emily Wiggins, Jackson High School; Collier Fulton, Jackson High School; Alexis Hellman, Jackson High School; Macy Swan, Oak Hill High School; Alexia Butcher, Jackson High School; Isabella Lunsford, Oak Hill High School; Brenly Tripp, Jackson High School; Sabella McCarty, Jackson High School; Kirsten Snyder, Jackson High School; Dakota Wilson, Jackson High School; Haley Allen, Oak Hill High School; and Emma Carroll, Jackson High School. And the contest, as I said, will be 7 p.m. on Saturday evening. Mm-hmm. 12 young women will vie for that title. And what they'll do is they will pick the queen, and they will pick finalist one, finalist two, first and second attendant.
Yep.
And so we will know who the 2024 Apple
right.
Festival queen and her two attendants are. A little bit different for the Little Miss contest, and I think we have 48 little girls vying there. What they do in the Little Miss contest, that's on Friday evening. This
yes.
is all at Jackson Middle School Auditorium. All it costs to get in is $5.
Perfect place to have that.
Right. And 48 little girls from Jackson County, and they will pick 10 finalists.
Yep.
And then the winner, one little girl, will be picked during the Apple Festival as the 2024 Little Miss. For the rest of the summer and through next year's, or through this upcoming festival, the 2023 Little Miss will continue her reign, and that is Hadley Scarberry, the 7-year-old daughter of Jensen Oberholzer and Timothy Scarberry. And so a big weekend for the Apple Festival in the preparation for the big doings in September.
Do they still have the theme contest? And
you know,
they announced that
they do. They have not announced it that I know of. If they did it, they did it online, and I have not seen it. They usually make an announcement at one or both contests of the theme for this year's Apple Festival,
yeah.
and usually it's to a degree an online contest. People make submissions. In the last couple of years, they've narrowed it down to 3 or 4, and then you know, it's
picked. Vote on it.
What I don't know is whether it's been picked yet or not, or they're just down to the finalists.
Okay.
But, and also, I know that they have not announced the Grand Marshal yet. Now, that's something that they have often done at the contest. Sometimes it comes a little later.
Let's see if they've got anything on there.
Yeah, you can check that out
here. I'll check while you're talking.
Right. So, once again, you know, this is the Apple Festival is, the Jackson Apple Festival is a program, a project of the of Jaffe, Jackson Area Festivals and Events, and there is an Apple Festival Committee, and these, you know, are all volunteers, you know, that do the work every year, and of course, I'm sure they've already booked some of the big entertainment and whatever. So
Pete, I couldn't keep up with you with all the contestants, but you did send me pictures. Do you want to roll through those?
Well, the only thing is I have names, but I don't have the photos with me, so I can't say who's who.
Okay, I have all the photos in here.
Okay, maybe later in the week, you know, you guys can do that if I match them up for you. If you have time, I know you have a guest booked the rest of the week. I actually had a paper with me, but when I was on the phone with the Vinton County people to get that information so I could say it on TV, I forgot that paper.
Well, I have the names in front of me.
Okay, well, go ahead then. Then you name their names.
Okay, this is Isabella Lunsford.
Okay, this will be very helpful. And you'll know that I wasn't lying to you when I said about these are outstanding contestants.
And then Brinley Tripp. It looks like I lost the thing here, but this is Haley Allen. Emma Carroll. Kirsten Snyder. Dakota Wilson. Emily Wiggins. Alexia Butcher. Alexis Hellman. Collier Fulton. Macy Swan. Sabella McCarty. And I think I already did this one, but Haley Allen.
Yes. Okay. That's the 12, right? Okay. Well, you can, that was a treat to see pictures of those girls. You can also see the pictures in our paper, also online at thetelegramnews.com, as well as some little bit of a biographical sketch on the girls as well.
Yeah.
The craziest thing is I went to school with all of them. I still remember them.
Okay. All right.
So we missed out, Pete, there was a poll on March 2nd that Jaffe put on their Facebook page, but when I click on it, it says the poll is now closed. So we didn't get to put our two cents in.
And we don't know what the theme is.
We don't know what the... Well, because it doesn't say...
If the poll's closed, there may be, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn, but perhaps there's a good chance that it will be announced this weekend.
Make that announcement, right, yes.
Since the poll's closed. What they have done in the past, I think this has been kind of like the practice the last couple years at least. They still invite people to submit themes, and then I think they decide what some of the ones are, and then that's
then you
online.
Get to vote. Yeah,
that what opens it up to more to more people, not just selecting a theme.
Yep.
All right, but it's always a good one, always a good one, and it's very important. Not only you know is it a catchy thing that will be a good identifier, a good promotion thing to the Apple Shuffle, but it really guides the decorations for the booths and the floats. It's very, very important.
All of that stuff, yep.
Very important. Okay, now we're going to a story that is a sad one, a little bit of a connection here with Total Media as well. But there was a disastrous fire recently in Wilkesville. It occurred in the early morning hours of Friday, March the 15th. It was about midnight when this fire broke out. It was at the home of Ron Butcher, which is on 106 South High Street in Wilkesville. This is what was left of his house after that fire. Now, family sources indicated, this was not from the fire department, family sources indicated that the fire may have been caused by lightning. There was a pretty bad storm that night.
Gotcha.
And there was a lot of fire departments that responded that helped the Wilkesville Fire Department out. However, you know, they were not able to save the structure. Contents considered pretty much a total loss. Now, Ron Butcher was home at the time. He lives there alone. He was able to get out, maybe get a few things, but for the most part, he lost everything. his daughter and some other people have started an assistance fund.
Okay.
And it's going very well. It's a GoFundMe account. So, you know, you can go on there and help Ron. There's also a Venmo account too. They're shooting for $10,000. And I know that they were up over five there Wonderful. Within a week. And so
every little bit helps.
Right. And Ron has some local connections. Not only is he a Vinton County resident, but Ron is an amateur photographer, very good photographer. He has helped us here at the Telegram and Total Media with some sports pictures and some other news pictures as well. Gotcha. He's taken some pictures for us pretty much on a volunteer basis, and we certainly do appreciate that. Also, he's been very active taking pictures on his own of some of the kids at the area high schools. It's just a little hobby he has,
sure.
and I think he makes them available to the kids. You know, the photos are very important
yes.
to them. And Courtney Butcher, who is one of the cheerleading advisors at
yes.
Jackson High, her name's been in the news because
sure.
of the competition cheerleaders. That is his daughter-in-law.
Okay.
She's one of the ones that have kind of started that. So that assistance drive. Erin Butcher is
so
her
sad.
Husband, and Erin is Ron's son. So information on that is posted online and on our Facebook
okay.
page. That was something that we made free. And if there's any way, you know, that you can help even just a little bit,
yeah.
it would be, I know, greatly appreciated. You know, when something like this happens, like a death in the family or whatever, this is the next worst thing to it, I think. When something like that happens, it's just not the material things and the money that you get. It's knowing that people care
Absolutely.
And want to help. So once again, if that's something that you can do, that would be wonderful. Okay, another thing that we want to report on is the Wellston Fitness Facility. That is up on the Wellston High School campus.
Okay.
It's been a long time coming, but it is getting there. It is getting there. As a matter of fact, Dylan, if you can find the picture, we'll show you what it looks like right now. But this facility is up on the Wellston High School campus. And, of course, you know, they have built a track up there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one day there'll be a football field up there, too. They have a soccer field, you know, nearby. And the fitness facility, it was basically made possible by it's called the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Grant Funds. So it was outside money that made a lot of that available. They also did some fundraising. But it's under roof now. It was a prefab building, and they expect it to be ready. There's lots of interior work that have to be done, duct work and plumbing and all like that. But it should be ready, fairly soon. It's 1,000. It has 3,600 square feet. It has about half of that is a weight room. Then there is a concession area, a women's restroom, a men's restroom, and a family restroom and storage space. Dr. Brian Rao, the superintendent, I think he's going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah, I think tomorrow.
He will probably give us a good update on that.
Yeah.
But they will have a ribbon cutting event and celebrate that. If you don't have kids in school and you're not up there, you maybe don't have a case to see
sure.
it. It's kind of sitting back of the school building. Did you find that picture, Dylan? There you go. That is what it looks like. As you can see, it's all up. You know, it's just a lot of the innard work, you might say.
Yeah.
Interior work needs to be done there. But that is a big thing for the Wellston City Schools and Wellston High School in particular. All right, speaking of another new thing that's good for the village of Oak Hill, we'll go south now, is the Oak Hill Police Department recently was in receipt of a new police department vehicle, a Tahoe.
Oh, cool.
And they showed this off at the, not this last council meeting, which was just last night, but the council meeting before that. And Oak Hill Village leaders were very glad to get the new police vehicle. I will tell you, these emergency service vehicles are so important. You know, there's a lot of miles put on. Sometimes the miles are tough because
yes.
of the nature of the work, fire department, police, et cetera.
Lots of driving.
And it usually takes a while to get these vehicles now, you know, with the supply chain and the
sure.
specialized things on these vehicles. And then you have to equip them. That is another step in the process.
Yeah.
But at the last meeting, they were able to show off this Tahoe. The police were able to put $70,000 in the budget to help pay for it. That was only part of it. They are also waiting to hear about a $75,000 grant for a salt storage facility. There you go, Dylan. Thank you. That is some of the Oak Hill officials standing in front of the Tahoe. As you can see, it's a nice SUV, Oak Hill Police there on the side. That's Chief David Ward on the far left. And then in the middle, from the left, Councilman Terry McCain, Councilman Jody Folk, and on the right, that is His Honor Mayor Paul McNeil. Also, don't have a story on this yet, but I know the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Oak Hill Council did meet again last night, and there was no developments on the Iron Oak Center issue, where there was a proposal, a wish from the Iron Oak Center owners and a person leasing space in the Iron Oak Center for the Phoenix Center to have a residential treatment center for recovering drug addicts in there. A 24-bed is what they were talking about. And, of course, there was concern in the neighborhood about it. There was a lot of talk about zoning issues that were involved. And the Oak Hill Village Council has not received a request yet. They haven't had to act on anything. They make that very clear.
Yep.
But they do say that it will take a zoning variance or a change of use permit. In other words, the village officials at the zoning level will have to, their zoning enforcement officer and the Zoning Board of Appeals, which, was recently put together. It's always been there on paper as far as a legal thing. It would have to decide, first of all, does it meet the zoning? And council says it does not. And then the Zoning Board of Appeals would have to decide whether to grant a variance or a change of use. But up till now, there has not been a request. And I think what's at work here, Jennifer, is that the proponents, the owners of the building, that's Pat and Melissa Ball, mm-hmm. Dan McKenzie, who has leased space in there with his company, I think that they know that there's some people they have to win over politically.
Okay.
Because there seems to be such strong opposition in the neighborhood.
Definitely some controversy.
Because it is in a residential type neighborhood. Central Memorial Park, not too far away. The pool and park even closer. And Central Elementary School, or not Central Elementary School, Oak Hill Elementary School, not too far away either.
Right.
So continuing story, but it did not come up at all at last night's meeting. So I don't know whether that means there's not going to be a request, but we've been following it, so I wanted to tell you, I guess, what didn't happen last night. All right, some other things to tell you about. We want to give your attention to a story. It's actually, we called it an editorial tribute. It was in our paper yesterday. Alex Shope, our editorial assistant, who is a brilliant writer. He truly is.
He is.
This was on our editorial page. He wrote a piece. This happened a couple months ago. And it was my fault we didn't get it in the paper sooner, but there was time to get the information and write it as well. But you recall there was that triple fatality out by the Richmondale exit on U.S. Route 35. Well, there was a young lady named Tiffany Rupert Denny, she's a medical person, a nurse practitioner. She happened to be right in the vehicles that came up on the scene right after this happened, before the emergency EMS people got there and the fire people got there. She did what she could to save the people, including a little boy.
Yes.
She was not able to. I mean, he died and so did two other adults. Yeah. And she was willing to share that story with us, not for any attention at all, but really more than anything else to make people think about what might face them. And more than anything else, to salute our first responders who might face something like that all the time. Situation where somebody's life is on the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you may not always be able to save them. It doesn't always turn out to be a good story.
No, it doesn't.
But anyway, this was a really thought-provoking piece that Alex wrote. We've got a lot of attention on our website and on Facebook on it already. Yep. All right, some other things, because we know we're running out of time. There'll be multiple Easter egg hunts. This weekend, we talked about some of them on Friday. On Saturday, the Sons of American Legion will be doing their big one in Wellston at 1. The Kiwanis will be doing one at Manpower Park in Jackson at 1 o'clock. The Sons of the American Legion in Wellston is at noon. The one in Manpower Park in Jackson, the Kiwanis Club, is doing that. That's at 1 o'clock.
Well, if you're real fast, you can get to both of them,
right,
I guess.
Right. And at 11 o'clock in Oak Hill at the Village Building there, Liberty Baptist Church will be doing a community Easter egg hunt there. And there are others, too. We have them listed in a story on our website and on Facebook. Remember, You have to clean up the cemeteries in some of these towns because they're going to be doing yard work, you might say.
Yeah, and so already, can you believe it?
On those lots, you have your older decorations in the winter. You need to put them in a safe place or throw them away yourself, or otherwise they will, because they've got to do the mowing and
they're
the weed eating.
Yep.
But that pertains to the Ridgewood Cemetery in Wellston. That deadline to get things off the graves is Sunday. And then in the city of Jackson and in the village of Colton, Colton Cemetery and Colton Fairmount Cemetery in Jackson, the deadline is Monday, April the 1st. Interesting event coming up, Jennifer, Monday at the Black Diamond Masonic Lodge in Wellston. Okay. It's going to be on Monday evening from 5 to 7 p.m. They're having an open house. This is a big deal. The Masons have been around forever. You know that. We have a Masonic Lodge in Jackson, Wellston, and Oak Hill. I'm not sure about MacArthur. But, you know, it's kind of a private organization. Yeah, you just don't walk in there.
Kind of lore and stuff surrounding it.
Well, this is an opportunity to learn what the Masons is like and see where they operate in Wellston. And the Black Diamond Masonic Lodge is just not a fraternal, a brotherhood type organization. They do a lot of public service and community service. They do a car show at the Ohilco Festival, and they do some other things. They help put up the banners in town and whatever. But you can learn what the Masons are all about, and the Masons don't really recruit. You're supposed to kind of say if you're interested and talk to a Mason.
Okay.
And, you know, because of the nature of their organization, that doesn't always happen. Well, this is an opportunity to see firsthand what the Masons are all about, at least in Wellston, 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday evening, April the 1st. All right. I tell you what, we will just say that that is it. We have run out of time, but we do want to remind you that Friday is Good Friday. Some of the governmental offices will be closed.
Yeah, just call first.
That'll affect garbage service. The only ones that are open, and we'll just go within the opposite direction because it's easier to...
Yeah.
MacArthur Village is open and Jackson City is open. That means the governmental offices will be open, and that means that garbage service will be running in Jackson. In MacArthur, it's done privately. The government isn't involved there.
Right.
But the other village offices and city offices and county offices all closed on Friday.
Is Good Friday one where like banks and stuff close as well?
I think usually. I think they do. Yeah. It may be one of those things where it's not.
Call ahead.
It may not be uniform. Yeah. So you know, if you're you get your paycheck late in the week and you count on stopping by the bank.
That could be annoying, on Friday.
I think it'll work on Saturday. Saturday's a regular day in between Good Friday and Easter. But anyway, be aware. This is the holiday coming a little early this year in March.
Yes, absolutely. Everything's early this year, right? Election early.
It was.
Easter early. So, yeah, absolutely. Well, awesome. Pete, thank you for filling us in on all you know.
Okay, well, very good.
Most of what you know, anyway.
Most of what I know.
Some things he knows we can't talk about.
You know, there's always some of those.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, there are, actually. All right. Well, we want to thank everyone for tuning in this morning. Thank you, Pete, for spending your morning with us. And thank you to the girls from the Mountains Move Conference and coming in, talking about that. It will be at World Outreach, and that will be on April 13th. A wonderful, wonderful event.
Well, you know, I've not been there before. I think they've done it at least 1 year, maybe two.
This is the fourth.
This is the fourth. Wow.
Yeah, it's what I said.
I will say this. When I've talked to people who are involved in it or who have attended, they have been very impressed.
Yes,
and that's absolutely one of the reasons they were here. They want more people to know about it and attend.
Yes, absolutely. So
it's not just a world outreach thing. It's a public thing.
No,
correct?
It's a very, yeah, everybody's welcome.
Okay.
So please come on out and spend time with them.
Take our word for it. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. All right. Well, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we will be right back here tomorrow with our Wellston superintendent.
Right, and talk about a good guy, Dr. Brian Rao. I'm a fan of his, and you know what? He's been very supportive of our media organization here.
Absolutely.
We've done more in the paper with Wellston Schools because he has got other people in Wellston Schools involved in submitting articles, letting us know about things.
Yes.
And he's very proactive, too, in trying to make Wellston the best it can be and making sure that when they do make progress, and they have, people know about it, and
That's
we're
right.
and we're glad to be in. We're glad to help on that. Yeah.